All right, let us dive right in. We have a very, very beautiful Svasamas tonight. And it's a little deep, maybe a 1% esoteric, but not really. It's very, very beautiful, like slightly different than the regular one. So I'm going to share with you first the part, like the words of the Chumash that we're going to talk about. And then we'll see, we'll ask some questions, and then we'll see what he has to say. So here we go. So we're going to talk, the topic tonight is speech. Topic is speech, the concept of what speech is, why is speech so important. And we're basing this on the words in the parasha, where Hashem commands us, like this, beware of its tzaras affliction. Be very careful and to act according to everything that the Kohanim the Levites shall teach you. Shall be careful to perform. I mean, don't stay away from getting tzaras. And we know that one of the ways to get tzaras is by speaking
Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara. So bad speech is one of the primary causes for Lashon Hara. So the Torah tells us basically stay away, watch yourself not to get tzaras, affliction. Basically, stay away from Lashon Hara. And then it writes a positive commandment. It says, remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam on the way when you were leaving Egypt. So as we're going out of Egypt, we know that Miriam said Lashon Hara about her Moshe, her brother Moshe, and she got tzaras. They had to wait 7 days for her until she recovered. And this is what the Torah tells us. Stay away from tzaras and remember what God did to Miriam. Now, as an aside, copy and carry.
It's important to remain hydrated.
That's right. Even though Carrie's hiding something in that bottle of his. Anyone who doesn't have a see-through water bottle, we know the secret. Yeah, there you go. You see?
Red wine.
He's drinking vodka.
Yeah, I wish. Lemonade.
But anyways, Josh is coffee.
Yes.
That we smell. So the question is like this. The Torah, we know that there's six things that we need to remember every day. Every single day, all the time, constantly, we need to remember these things. One of them is to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. But I remember it constantly. I mean, this thing about speech is so important that it's something we need to remember. And the Torah writes two things. Yishamer, be careful, guard yourself from it. And then Zachar, remember what God did to Miriam. So guard yourself, yishamer, and then Zachar, remember. Now here's a question.
You're saying that those two words, which normally apply to Shabbos.
Beautiful. Wow. Reb David, I was about to ask a hard question. Does anybody know where these two words come in anywhere else? So you beat me to it. Reb David is right on. Isn't it fascinating? You know, I never noticed this, that these two words regarding speech, Yishamer, guard yourself from getting tzaras. And then it says, Zachar, remember about Miriam. These two words is Shamar v'Zachar that we have by keeping Shabbos. We need to guard Shabbos, safeguard it, and we need to positively remember it. Right? Just to clarify, that means there's a clear connection, says the Svasamas, between Shabbos and speech. Now that's a hard one. That is a hard one. This is what we're going to learn about tonight. What does Shabbos have to do with speech? You see that the same two concepts of guard and remember you have by Shabbos, and the other place you have it is by speech. Tzaras, which is speech. Which is a strange connection between Shabbos and,
speech.
And speech, thank you, Josh. The point is like this. Shamar v'zachar, what do they mean? What does Shamar v'zachar mean? So by Shabbos, we know that Shamar refers to guarding yourself from negative things. Zachar means to do positive things. It means there's everything, there's the negative and the positive side. That means in the mitzvahs, in the Torah, everything is split up into two ways. One of them is don't do negative commandments. The other one is do positive commandments. So Shamar, the Zohar, the Holy Zohar, actually writes that when the Torah writes about Shabbos, Shamar v'Zachar, Shamar includes in it all negative commandments of the Torah in Shabbos somehow, And Zachar includes in it all positive commandments of the Torah. That means that Shomer means guard yourself. That means if I would tell somebody, you're going out there into the world, guard yourself, watch yourself. I'm not telling the person to do something. I'm telling him, watch yourself. Don't get caught in with the wrong crap, right? Don't fall into the wrong place. That's what it means to guard. Guard is safeguard what you have. If I tell him, remember to do this, I'm telling him, go ahead and do something positive. So Shama always refers to abstaining from negative, withholding from negative. Zachar refers to going ahead and doing something positive. So we have these two concepts of Shomer and Zachar by Shabbos, and we have them by speech. So I'm going to start reading just a few lines. And it says like this. Well, we're going to build this up. We're going to start building this picture. And he writes like this. Gadol koach, the second line over there. Gadol koach piyam shel b'nei Yisrael. He says the power of the mouth of a Jew is great. Not just of any person, but the mouth of a Jew. The power is incredibly great. Not just that, but chol kochem b'peh. He says everything we have is our mouth. Everything. Which we need to understand. The Sfasamis is writing, not just is the mouth a big tool and an important tool, but every single, the big thing that we got is our mouth. That's, everything is dependent on the mouth. L'chein tzrichim, my left of the Torah exhorts us, lishmar hevelashim, to guard the mouth and the tongue. Because the mouth is everything. We need to understand, why is the mouth everything? Now you're right. So Kamoi, like Reb David said before, Kamoi sheyesh b'Shabbos, just like we have by Shabbos, Zachar b'Shomer. By Shabbos we have Zachar and Shomer. But Amar b'Zohar Kodesh, and the Zohar Kodesh teaches us shekol haTorah, that the entire Torah kalula is included b'Zachar b'Shomer. Everything, the entire Torah is in positive is in Zachar, negative is in Shomer. K'mokim b'Lashon Hara, the same true b'Lashon Hara, k'siv Hishomer, k'siv Zachar. So he seems to be quoting this point from Azar. I'm going to skip a line over here. Now he says like this, Ba'amas gam b'Shabbos yibchinas hapeh. You want to know, why is Shabbos, what does Shabbos have to do with the mouth? So he says something mind-boggling. Get ready. This is a big one. Slightly, like I said, 1% esoteric. But it's unbelievable. What
does Shabbos have to do with the...
with the mouth. What does Shabbos have to do with the mouth? Says the Sfasamis, something unbelievable. How many different openings do we have on our head? On our faces? How many different openings do we have?
Seven.
There we go. So we got the number seven. Seven openings. What do we have? Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and one mouth. So, the Sfasamis says like this, and this is a biggie. He writes like this. He says, the sixth openings, that means the ones which are doubled, two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, those correspond to the 6 days of the week. The mouth, which is single, is Shabbos. Day number seven. Seventh opening, day number Shabbos. Absolutely amazing. So, even before we can, I'm gonna explain with the Shem's off. But even before we get to that explanation, just to get the structure, we started off with a question. What does Shabbos have to do with speech, that they both say Zachar and Shomer? Here's the answer. Not just do they have to do with each other, but Shabbos is the mouth. That means of this, you have six openings, which is 6 days of the week. You have one opening, the mouth, which is opening number seven, the lowest one, by the way. And that is the mouth, which is unbelievable. Now there's another thing he writes over here. Like this. He says that we have four senses. We have four senses. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I'll come from a different angle. There's a Medrash that I've mentioned this before. The Medrash writes that Shabbos came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a complaint. And Shabbos said that the rest of the days of the week you gave a partner. And to me, you didn't give a partner. So what's that conversation all about? Shabbos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the rest of the days of the week you gave a partner to, and I don't have a partner. So that was Shabbos' complaint, and we'll say the answer in a minute, why Hashem responded to Shabbos. So if you look at it like this, it's beautiful, because the rest of the days of the week are all in Paris. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, Monday, let's say, would be two ears. Tuesday, Wednesday would be two eyes. Thursday, Friday would be two nostrils. Those are all in sets. Everything is in twos. And these openings that we have, it's two, two, and two. Keep in mind, which I will not explain, but that's already 95% esoteric. Just, I'll tell you the point to keep in mind, that these openings, they get closer and closer and closer. Right? That means these two ears are all the way in the side. The eyes are a little bit in, and the two nostrils are almost together, and then you have the mouth, which is one. That's just a point to ponder, point to think about. Pretty amazing. Two, yeah. Two, two, one. Now, Shabbos comes and says, I'm the mouth. But the mouth does not have a partner, because it's two, 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 but the mouth doesn't have a partner. So Shabbos says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you haven't given me a partner. Not fair. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to Shabbos? He says, I have a partner for you. You know who that partner is? This is all the words of a Medrash. That partner is
the Jewish people.
How did you know?
We're thinking on the same wavelength.
We're on the same wavelength. There we go. There we go. One target tonight. The Jewish people are going to be your partner. So that means like this. Who is the partner of the mouth? It's really amazing, this piece. Who's the partner of the mouth? The Jewish people are the partner of the mouth. That means if you understand that Shabbos is the mouth, that's opening number seven, and it's single. It's a bachelor, right? No one with it. It's not a set. It's not a pair. It's just one mouth. Who is the partner of the mouth? The Jewish people are the partner of the mouth. So we now understand everything without understanding anything. What I mean is we have the structure, but without any understanding. The structure is incredible. We asked the question, why is there Zachar and Shomer by Shabbos and by the mouth? The answer is because Shabbos is the mouth. We wanted to know, why is it that the mouth is the most important piece of a Jew? The answer is because we are partners with the mouth. Because the eyes have a partner, the nose has a partner, the ears have a partner, and the mouth's partner is the Jewish people. That means you want to know, why is my most important piece my mouth? It's because that's who, so to speak, we're partnered up with. This is, we're the ones who are partnered up with the mouth. And that is all Shabbos, because that's all opening number seven. Now, we need to try and explain. Right? But let's explain what's this all about. But the structure is, are we good? So far, so good?
Yes.
In the structure. Like I say, we haven't given any explanation, but we have the structure. Now he goes, I'm going to add in one more piece to the structure, which I don't know how much we're going to dwell on it, but we'll see if we have time. There's one other thing. There's another way that you could structure six and seven. And the ways to do it is like this. You have, what other sets do we have in the body? Right, what other sets do we have? We have two hands, two arms, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have two legs. So that's four. Then we have what he calls, if you split up the body into pieces, you would say you have two arms, two legs, you have a head and the body. So that could be like a partnership. The head is one thing, the body is the other piece. Mm-hmm. Two pieces for the person, the head and the body, two arms, and two feet, two legs. Those are six. Now, what is on the body besides for that? That is one.
The belly button.
Yes, true.
Keep on. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, right. You got it. Right, the place of our circumcision, the place of the breasts is one. Which is, again, we'll see if we have time to get into this. But if you look, and this is, again, very, again, more on the esoteric side. But just to keep in mind that there's six and seven. There's, on the face itself, there's six and seven. And that's why the mouth is number seven. And it's one. The number seven is always single. It's always alone. And we're the partner. The same is true if you split up the body with two arms, two feet, head and a body. And then you have the place of the breasts, of the circumcision. And that is also single. Not just that, if you look at the structure of the body, both of these, which are single, are straight down the middle. Right? The mouth is in the center. That's in the center of the lower part. But if you would say it like this, what the mouth represents on the head, the place of the circumcision represents on the body. Mm-hmm. They're both representing each other. And if you take a look in the, what you would call the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest Kabbalistic works that we have that is officially written by Avram Avinu, our forefather Avram. So there they talk about these two things. There's the covenant of the mouth and there's the covenant of the place of circumcision. And they clearly correlate. Now, with Hashem's help, we will say something about it. But these other points, you always have pairs and then you have the mouth, which is one. And the partner to the mouth is us. So let's see if we could do... by the way, sorry, I should have said this. Just like the mouth, we are the partners, right? We're the ones that are partners with the mouth. Who are the people that are partners with the place of the Bris Milah, the Jewish people, once again, because we're the only ones, even though the Arabs do too, but technically we're the only ones that were commanded to do Bris Milah. That means anything which is singular on the body, the Jewish people are told, you partner up with that. We're the ones that do Bris Milah. We're the ones that have the mouth, which is amazing. Again, this is all the structure. So let's try and explain this. Says this Fasamas, like this. If you look on the face, what do the ears do? The ears listen. They hear. That's what you would call the sense of sound, you would call it, or the power to hear. What do the eyes do? It's the sense of sight, the ability to see. What does the nose do? Sense of smell, ability to smell. Those three senses. Now the mouth is the sense of speech.
And taste.
So we have to listen, to hear, to see, to smell, and the mouth, which is, I'll tell you the reason why I'm not saying taste. Yeah. But we'll see about it. We'll see if we could try and explain that. But the mouth is where we talk. What is the difference? This is the main piece that I would like to share with you. What is the defining difference between those senses and the ability to speak? Between listening, seeing, smelling, and the ability to talk. What's the defining difference between all of this? And the Svasana says something, which once you hear it, you can't miss it. Mm-hmm. That is, are you starting to see it? Give it a try. What's the defining difference?
It's the only sense where we could praise the show.
True. That is true. Right? Did you hear what Josh is saying? It's the only sense which we could use to praise Hashem, which is true. But I'm talking about even in a physical way.
Physically, it's what we bring into us. We bring into our mind the sight. We bring in these sound waves and hear. We bring in what the smell is, but the mouth is what we speak out to the world.
Wow. Rav David, I'm out of business. Yeah.
Pack it all up.
That's amazing. That is head on, 100%. Wow, that's really, really, really amazing. That is does everyone hear what Rav David is saying? It's so powerful. The difference is that, like you said, I'm just going to repeat over what you said. The other senses are all taking in external senses. We look out into the world and we see. We open our ears. We hear noises from the world. Even that's what I was saying, the sense of taste is really also what we bring into our mouth. But the one thing that we do that goes from internal to external is our speech. Speech is that we take a concept that was inside us, started with our thoughts. We express it out into the world with our speech. It's going the opposite direction. It's going outwards. Everything else is the world talking in. The mouth is the one place in the body which has the ability to express outwards, which, without going into too much detail, you will understand that same point is true regarding the singular thing on the lower part of the body, right? That's exactly the same point. That's an expressive force as opposed to a force that goes in. It doesn't receive, by the male side at least, but that's a place where we express from deep, deep within, right? We know they explain that the actual origin of the what comes out comes from the brain. It comes from deep, deep within. The thought will create this whole process until it's expressed into the world and the ability to create a new human. But these two things, both of them, are things that come from deep, deep within, which you express outwards, as opposed to the other side. So The ears, the eyes, and the nose are 6 days of the week where the world talks to us, comes in from the outside into the inside. And we're just perceiving what's going on. The day of Shabbos, talk about it in a minute, but the ability to speak is our biggest tool in the world because it's the ability where we could express what we have inside us, our neshama, our soul, we could express that into the world. That is the defining feature of a Jew. And when it says that Shabbos came to God and complained that I don't have a partner, what Shabbos was saying was, Shabbos stands for elevation. Shabbos stands for something deeply spiritual. And Shabbos was saying, who is going to express me into the world? I see many things that are willing to be external and go into the internal. I see many partners for that. But who is going to be the one that will have the ability to express something deep outside onto the external world? Who's going to be the one to do that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you got your partner. The Jewish people, they are going to be the ones who are going to take the power of speech, which is Shabbos, and they are going to use their speech to bring light into the world, as opposed to letting the world shed a darkness on the person. But we are going to be the ones to spread light onto the world, which is the defining feature of who we are. That's what it means. That's what it means that it's Shabbos. Now, the reason why we have to be so careful with our speech is because if we speak in a wrong way, what we're doing is we're taking this godly thing, which is the only thing in existence, which expresses outwards, and we're choosing to express outwards something wrong, something evil, something bad. We have basically, as human beings, as Jewish people, we have been given the keys that we are the ones that are partners with Shabbos. We are the ones that are partners with the man. What that means is that we are the ones who could change the world. We could express something from within onto the world by speaking. What it means, by the way, that the Jewish people are partners with the mouth, even though we know that any non-Jew is able to talk also. So right, what does that mean? Right, we're not the only ones that could talk. But if I could, maybe I'll expand on this for a few minutes. Right, you understand my question. We're talking about the Jewish people being partners with Shabbos, being partners with the mouth. We are the ones that are able to talk. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you talking about, right? We, as if I live in this hole in the wall. You know, that you go out, there's many people talking. They're all talking. Everybody's talking. So, well, that's a question. So let's try and explain this a little bit. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro talks about this a lot. Point is like this. To say it nicely, I would say not everything that we talk is called speech. Right? If Rav Moshe Shapiro would be here, he would say, nothing that we say is speech. we don't talk anymore. What does he mean to say? What does he mean to say? What he means to say is that the way we're explaining now, speech means the ability of the human being to express something from deep within, outside, outward. When I'm having a conversation with a guy, and there's zero expressiveness in it. All it is just, you know, I'm not even talking about bad speech. It's just chit-chat. Nothing wrong with chit-chat. And if that's important, then that is good speech. But if I'm just having a conversation without any thought and effort expressed in it, I'm just back and forth, banter, it's true, it's not true. We're talking about news and sports and nothing wrong with these things. But that wouldn't necessarily be defined as speech. Because am I expressing something from deep within? Or is it just my mouth? Which is could also be external, having a back and forth. For example, when we're talking words of Torah, like right now we're talking. Right now we're talking. When we're sharing together ideas in the words of the Torah, we're using our mouths for that. Then what we're doing is we're expressing something from our neshama, which is deep, deep, deep within the person. And we're bringing that out into the world. When we're talking right now, we are spreading something from deep spiritual place into the world. That's called speech. And that is something that was only given to the Jewish people. No one else has the ability to express from deep, deep within outwards. You can talk and talk all day, but I wouldn't necessarily define that as speech. The definition of speech, what we're referring to over here, using the mouth in a Shabbos type of way, means to take something that we feel strongly about from an elevated place and to try and spread it, to try and convey it to somebody else. When I have a DMC, right, a deep, meaningful conversation with somebody, then I'm talking, trying to convey to him my emotion, trying to show him my idea. If I explain somebody, when we talk to our children, and we try and show them and explain to them the concept that we believe in, we're talking. That's why we're using the ability, the God-given ability, to take what we have inside and express it outward. When I'm just, in a good way, when I'm not saying anything wrong, but there's no thought in what I'm saying, then that's not really talking. That's called just chit-chat. That's not what the Torah means by speech. So, to clarify what we're saying, the Jewish people are partners with the mouth. We are the ones, we're partners with Shabbos. We're partners with the area of circumcision. Because we are the ones that have the ability to express godliness outwards, as opposed to just taking in or just staying external, but to take from deep, express it outwards. And that's why the Torah writes, Shomer and Zachar, be careful with that mouth. Because if we express outward something wrong, we've done something terrible. Not just have we done something wrong in the fact that we said something not nice, but we're taking the ability to express, and we're expressing into the world more yitzhar, more evil, more darkness. Instead of using this partnership to elevate the world, we're using this partnership that we have in the mouth to bring the world and make it into a darker place. It's giving somebody the keys and telling him, you have the ability to build. You could also destroy. As much as you could build, you could destroy. And the Torah writes, guard the Shabbos. Careful with it. It's a deep day. Honor it. Do positive things for it. Guard your mouth and do good things with the mouth. Mm-hmm. The same concept. The mouth and the Shabbos, the same concept. And the same, keep on saying this, the same would be true with the organ of the bris milah. Exactly the same concept. It's an area in the body that could be the most destructive. It could be totally used to just express nothingness, right? And without going into detail. And we are told, put a circumcision right over there. Circumcise it. Elevate that place. Use it in a way that is only in a holy way, exactly the way the Torah prescribes it in marriage. Bring it, when we bring a child into the world, we have to realize what I heard this, you know, recently from Moshe Shapiro. Without going into the whole picture. But he explained that we have to realize when we reproduce, we actually brought a neshama down into this world. Now, how did I bring a neshama down into this world? How? Because the answer is because I'm connected all the way up there. And when I bring down from my root all the way up there, and I express it through that organ, then I've brought a neshama into this world. But what we're doing, this act, it's not a simple act. It's an act of the deepest thing in the world. And even if it's not necessarily bringing a neshama into the world, there's many, many things to say about that. But just keep in mind that there are... we won't go down. Too much for one now. The point is like this. When we do this act, we're doing the holiest act in the world, potentially, because we're connected to the highest place and we're expressing it in an act of, in a marriage, right, with one spouse, and in the most beautiful type of way.
And on Shabbos.
Josh, we're in business.
I was in a Chabad class, a Chabad marriage class once, and there was a quote in the book that said, the Shekhinah rests between the husband and wife on Shabbos during said activity.
That's it. There we go. Wow, it's a good night.
Oh.
That's right. It's said that the Talmid HaChachamim, right, learned people, says that their set time when they should do this act is on Friday night. Friday night's a big, big time for it. Esoterically, there's much talk about the importance of doing it on Friday night. And it's beautiful because it's everything that we're talking about is one picture, right? Doing this on Friday night is the day we are the partner of this day of Shabbos. It's the day where we're partners with the mouth. We're partners with that organ. And it's, if you'd have to define the common denominator between these four things, Shabbos, the mouth, the organ, and the Jewish people, the common denominator is expressing godliness into the world in the most intimate way. That is what Shabbos is. We bring Shabbos into the week. We express Shabbos in the week. We are the ones that are the partners to do this. We are the ones that are circumcised, that we're told that you have an organ, that you can take that organ and bring a soul into the world. You have a mouth that you could express words of Torah, words of comfort, words of relationship into the world outwards using this mouth. It's all one concept. And that's why you do that on Shabbos, you've done the best thing in the world. It's really, really, eye-opening when you see the depth of the picture over here. Let's see if we could add one more piece over here, just to round out the picture. If you look in this portion, which we're reading in the Torah, it writes, remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam on the way when you were leaving Egypt. So the Torah makes a mention of Egypt. It doesn't just say, remember what God did to Miriam. It makes a very big mention of, remember what God did to Miriam when you were leaving Egypt. Now, what does leaving Egypt have to do with all of this? And here is the clincher. In case we weren't excited enough. How does Egypt, Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, come into this whole picture? So you ready for this? This one's a good one. The Zohar HaKadosh, the Holy Zohar writes, very famous Zohar. He writes like this. He says these words, and very, very cryptic and very hard to understand like he normally does. The Zohar writes that when we were in exile in Egypt, he says what was really in exile was the ability to speak. That's what the Zohar writes. The speech was in exile. That's what he says. The concept of speech, dibur, mouth. He says what was really in exile in Egypt was the concept, the ability to speak. When we were in Egypt, we weren't able to speak. When we came out of Egypt, we were given the ability to speak. That's what the Zohar writes. Now let's follow this through with the Svasamas's guidance. What does this mean when we say that the speech was in exile in Egypt? If we understand the way we're explaining it, what does speech mean? Real speech, true speech, means to express godliness into the world outwards, from inside to express it outwards. That's what real speech is. When we were in Egypt, when we were in Mitzrayim, we did not have the ability to do true speech. Of course we could talk. We could talk from today till tomorrow, and the Egyptians also spoke. They were talking all day too, but that wasn't speech. When we were trapped in this impure place of Mitzrayim, we didn't have the ability to take our neshama, to take our light, and spread it onto the world. We had no way to do that. That's what it means when we say that speech is in exile. Speech is in exile means that there's nobody that could express outwards from inside. You could see externally, you could smell externally, you could listen externally. But is there anybody in the world that is able to change what's outside of him based on what he's expressing from deep inside? That's what it means that we were in exile. Nobody could do that. The Jewish people were not given this power. We're locked up. Locked up in jail means that I can't go out. I can't express outwards. I can't, all this light that's inside me, I can't express it. That's what it means that the speech was in exile. When we left Egypt, we were given the ability to speak. We were given the ability to take all this knowledge, take all this neshama, and spread it. Bring light into this world. Inside to outside. That's what it means that we came out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem tells us, remember what God did to Miriam when you left Egypt. Because when you left Egypt, you were given the ability to speak. But don't take that ability, which you finally got, and use it in the wrong way like Miriam did. Because Miriam took those keys of expressing and expressed it in a way without going into why she did it. We're not going to talk about that now. But she expressed it in a way called Lashon Hara. And Hashem says, you left Egypt. The speech left Egypt. But don't let it leave in a way that could be destructive. Let it leave in a way that could only be bringing light into the world. This is what it means. Remember what God did to Miriam as you left Egypt, because that was what was in exile in Egypt, and that's what came in. Now, we have a long, two more, let's see, we have five more minutes, let's see if we can say two more points. If you look in the beginning of the Torah, all the way at the beginning of the Torah, when it talks about the creation of the human being, and God is creating man. So it says like this, I'm going to read to you one verse. It says that, let me find the right one.
Are you going to say he was created on Shabbat?
Almost. I wasn't saying that. It is. He was created on Friday, really. He really was created on Friday. He was created right, you know, sort of in the morning, Friday morning. It happens to be, Carrie, once you're on the topic, you know, that without going into it, but Rashi seems to imply that part of Adam was supposed to be created on Shabbos, but because Hashem doesn't create on Shabbos, He created him early. So it was like a, should have been on Shabbos, but was created on Friday. I mean, really, we're Shabbos people. Like you say, our partner is Shabbos. We're Shabbos' partner. At the end of the day, he was created on Friday. And it says like this. It says, Hashem created man. It says, Vayipach ba'ap av nishmat chaim. God blew into his nostrils the soul of life. And then it says, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaim. Man became a living being. So God blew the neshama into the nostrils of this human, this man, and it says man became a living being. If you look in the Targum, this is probably one of the most quoted Targums out there. The Targum writes, what does it mean that man became a living being? Translates it, Bahavas ba'adam, and man became the ruach mamalala, a spirit that could speak. That's what Targum writes. The definition of man being a living being means, says the Targum, that man was given the ability to speak. That means, if you would summarize what we're saying tonight, God blew into his nostrils a neshama. He gave him this deep connection, and then he said, you have that connection, you could express it out. That is the sum total of who we are. We're given a neshama, we're given the most lofty thing in the world. Not just are we given it, but when we were in Mitzrayim, we were in exile. We had a neshama, but what could we do with it? We couldn't express it. And then we were given this ability. We came out of Mitzrayim. And what do? We express it. We bring it. We talk. We talk as a Torah. We talk words of meaning. When we do those words of meaning, we're expressing life into the world. We're expressing light into the world. And let's say, I'm trying to think which way to say it. When we make Kiddush, what do we say in the Kiddush? Now, let me get a set of quickly. And we have to keep this in mind this week when we say Kiddush. What do we say when we make Kiddush on Friday night? What do we mention? We write, let me read to you the words over here. And we'll end with this. We say, Hashakadashana b'mitzvosa v'ratzaban. God sanctified us with his mitzvahs. For Shabbos Kacha, he gave us the Holy Shabbos as a remembrance to the day of creation. Because it's the beginning of all festivals. Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a remembrance to leaving Egypt. So what does Shabbos have to do with being a remembrance to leaving Egypt? According to this, this is what it means. Shabbos is the ultimate reminder that we left Egypt, because being in Mitzrayim meant that we couldn't talk, we couldn't express. 6 days of the week, limited expression. Shabbos is the one that doesn't have the partner because it's deep. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish people are the ones that take that day of Shabbos and we express it. When we express it, we're saying witness that we've left Egypt. Because if we have the ability to celebrate Shabbos, and Shabbos is a day which we need to use to express as much Torah, as much as prayer as we can, We're giving witness that we left Egypt, because as long as we were in Egypt, we couldn't express a thing of this neshama that we had. So we're saying in the Kiddush, and the Shabbos is a day which reminds us that we left Mitzrayim, because every time we speak on Shabbos, you have this beautiful Shabbos table, and whoever is there right now, whether you have guests or you don't have guests, it's your family, or even if you're sitting yourself, as you're saying Kiddush, keep in mind that we're expressing from a deep place into the world. How could I do that? Because God took us out of Mitzrayim and allowed us gave us the mouth, or we're the partners of the mouth and the partners of the organ of circumcision, which gives us this amazing, amazing ability to express into the world. It says there's a verse that we derive from, a halacha, that the speech on Shabbos is not allowed to be like the speech in the week. You're not allowed to talk about things that you talk in the week aren't necessarily permitted to talk about on Shabbos. And the Sfasama says, because it's a big deal what you talk about on Shabbos. Shabbos is the big speech day. It's the big mouth day. It's a day where we're given this ability to express as a partner of Shabbos. And we need to really make sure to use that. So Shabbos, definitely on Shabbos, for sure, in the week too. Shabbos is a day where we express. So just to summarize what we're saying, the bottom line is, speech is the biggest thing we have. The other senses is where we view from the external and either it goes in or it doesn't. The mouth is where we express from inside, from our neshama, all the way outside. Shabbos is that day. It's number 7. Shabbos is a day where we're infused with this lofty day, and we're told express it outwards into the 6 days of the week. Making any sense?
Yeah, it's
Shkolach. Hey, Shkolach, everybody. Yeah, they're a really incredible piece.
Right.
Okay, so have a great Shabbos.
You too.
And Akari, I thought you said you were going to come this week.
I know, but by the I like to walk to shul. So by the time I get home, I wouldn't have time to.
You wouldn't have time to come. That's fair. Okay.
It'll get early. It's getting earlier.
Exactly. Okay, looking forward. Right. Davich, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Yeah. Enjoy it.
All the best. Have a good Shabbos. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.